The work is actually done really by the first elder, who is a student, right? The other professors are just there. Why? And he was supposed to be here, but he has an exam today, so I get to do it. So basically, the motivation for this work is the fact that science really needs reproducibility, right? So Isaac Newton said that if I have seen farther, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants, right? It really reflects the fact that science is incremental. And if you don't have reproducibility, it's very hard not only to validate and correct previous results, but also to reuse them. It does greatly hinders the progress of science. So here what we're interested is not in reproducibility in general, but in computational reproducibility. And our definition for that is that you have computational reproducibility if we run a program P on a computational environment E at a time T. You can actually, the P is reproducible if it yields the same answer if you run it on a later time on a different environment. The sad truth, however, is that very few computational experiments nowadays are reproducible. So if you look at papers nowadays, you have beautiful graphs, beautiful plots, but you have no hope of actually producing that. Why? Because the paper is just the tip of the iceberg. People describe the results in captions, but the real scholarship, all the experiments, all the code, all the data is not included with the paper, right? And the big excuse that I hear from lots of people is why is it that people don't submit reproducible results? And the answer is that it's very hard to actually gather all the information needed to create this compendia that other people can reproduce, right? So essentially what we need is the real provenance of the paper, right? All the data that was used, what experiments were run, and what was the environment, right? And it's hard to do that, and manually is really rarely feasible, because you have to chase all the dependencies, where your files are, and so on, right? So it's very hard to capture all this information. And what people have reported after doing some surveys is that so for example, the first quote here. Par sigmoid, this experience that Philippe Bonnet and others have had in running the sigmoid reproducibility effort, is that basically it's the process takes too long for the benefit that is derived from it, right? And more recently at the Beyond the PDF conference that happened last week, basically, what people complain about is that there's insufficient time. It takes too much time to actually do the extra work after the paper is accepted, right? So what we really need is a process that is simple and automatic and doesn't get in the way of the scientists when they want to publish their results. Okay, so, this is not a new problem, and there has been a lot of work on, trying to, on tools for, actually, this is a bad place for me to stand, enabling the creation of these reproducible experiments, right? So there are domain-specific tools, and these are great and work very well. Oh, sorry, if I keep moving, I'm gonna make your life harder. But I'm gonna have to go there for. So the domain-specific tools work very well, but rarely in science you use a single tool. You always use a plethora of different tools in order to do your data analysis. And these tools, they'll capture their own provenance, but it's hard to integrate with the other tools. Scientific workflow systems, in contrast, are actually built in order to integrate multiple tools, and they do capture provenance of more complex experiments, but they have serious limitations. First and foremost, they do not keep track of the provenance of the computation environment, and they also don't support portability. So if I actually use Taverna and I have my workflow, I send it to Paolo. Paolo might not have the right libraries. I might have files in my directory structure that are mentioned in the workflow that are not in Paolo's machine, so he's not going to be able to rerun it. So it's not really portable. And another very serious limitation that they have is if you actually use the workflow system for your research, you're fine. But if you're just using it to pack your experiments for publication, it's just too much work because you're going to have to build lots and lots of wrappers. And again, it takes a lot of time, and scientists don't have time to spare, right? There are also some configuration management systems that people use where users can write recipes to configure machines in the same way, right? This could be useful, except that whenever you run this recipe, it can actually screw up your machine. It can change the whole configuration of your laptop or your desktop, and reviewers might not want to do that. Okay, so another solution that people use so hard is virtual machines, and they're great because they have this added benefit of being portable. So I can run, I can have my experiments run in Windows, and you, Paul only has Linux. I can send a virtual machine, and he can actually run that on his Linux machine. But there's a lot of overhead. Why? Because the snapshots for virtual machines are extremely large. And also, you know, people have to create a virtual machine and actually port their experiments to the virtual machine. Again, that takes a lot of time. More related to the work that we're doing are the systems that do system-level provenance capture at the OS level. And there's a number of examples, Burrito, ES3, and PaaS. And these systems, however, were developed in more for creating descriptions of the experiments. What happened? They don't really support, you know, execution specifications that can be run at different environments. CDE is another tool that, unlike the other ones, was actually designed to support reproducibility. And, you know, compared to virtual machines, it's better in the sense that you don't have to have the whole image, the whole machine. You only copy what is needed for experiments, right? It actually looks at the dependencies. But, you know, it only captures the environment, right? It doesn't have really the specification of the experiment. So it can be hard to actually further explore the experiment. And it also has, you know, this feature that whenever you're running something that was created by CDE, there's a lot of runtime overhead. So it's not really suitable when you have experiments that require performance, the checking the performance, because there's going to be a lot of overhead just for using CDE. So the tool that we built is called ReproZip. And the idea is that it will automatically, like these OS level provenance capture systems, it automatically and systematically captures the provenance of existing experiments, right? And once it captures that provenance, it will create the self-contained reproducible packages that have data description, the experiment description, and the environment description, right? Another big difference between our work and CDE is the fact that we actually derive a workflow specification that simplifies the process of validating and testing the experiments, right? And then, you know, once you have this package, the reviewers can simply extract the packages and execute them on their own environment. So let me show you how this works. You, as the author, you have your computation environment E. And now when you call invoke your experiment, you actually invoke it through ReproZip. And what it does, what ReproZip does, it uses system tap to actually capture everything that happened, you know, all the processes that have been spawned and called directly or indirectly by your experiment. And it will store all the provenance in MongoDB. Right? And in essence, what we end up with is a provenance tree that contain, where each node corresponds to a process, and there is an edge between two nodes if one node called the other, if one process called the other. And at each node, we actually capture additional information, like, for example, if it's a command line program, you have the arguments, you have the working directory, the files read, files written, libraries loaded, and so on. So this node is very fat. Using this provenance tree, we actually derive the three kinds of provenance that I talked about, the description of the data, the input and output files, the executable programs, and the steps that were followed in the experiment, as well as the description of the environment, like variables, dependencies, and so on. And once we have that information, we generate the workflow specification. In our implementation, we actually use VStrails because it's the system that we built, but it could be any other workflow system. And we gather all the information, the executables, and the workflow, and we put inside this package. Right? So just to give you a more concrete example, I'm going to show you a case study that we did for folks that in my group that work in visualization, that they're trying to analyze the topological correctness of different algorithms for doing isosurface. They found a bunch of errors, actually, comparing these different algorithms that actually illustrate the importance of having provenance and repeatable experiments. So what they do is, you know, they have their experiment, which is really a C program that reads a file and outputs another file. So if they want to capture the experiments to generate a reproducible package, they simply call the ReproZip, the PAC program. And what this is going to do is, again, call system tap and generate a tree that looks somewhat like this. It has the initial program and all the programs that get called by the main program. Right. One thing that I didn't mention is the fact that system type is going to capture lots and lots of stuff. It's going to capture everything, right? So you can end up with a huge package. So one of the things that we did with RepoZip is that we also allow the user to configure and to actually remove files that might not be needed. For example, it will capture the whole Python distribution. You may not want to ship that. You can actually tell the reviewer, install that Python in your machine, right? So through the configuration file, users can actually flexibly define what and what should not be included in the package. And in that way, you can customize the size of the package, right? Once you have that, from the tree, we generate the workflow. In this case, it's going to look like this. It has input files, the output, and the main command. And you put everything in a package, right? So that's the first part. So the second part is that now you're the reviewer, and you want to unpack your experiment. You're now in a different environment. E-prime, and it's important that E-prime should be compatible, right? So you should be able to run the same executables in E and E-prime. So you start with your reproducible package. You invoke RepoZip. It will actually create a new directory in the user's machine. It's not going to touch any of your system's directory. Everything is going to run over off of this new directory that is created, so it's not going to interfere with your environment. And this is how it works. You called pack to create a package. Now you call unpack. It creates this new, completely new directory. And then there you have the choice of either run your experiments from the command line, or you can run the workflow. And running the workflow has some advantages in the sense that, for example, in this case, this experiment only outputted a file, right? So if you have a workflow system, you can easily connect with other libraries. In this case, what the reviewer did was add modules to actually create a visualization of the results of that workflow. So you can easily, you know, explore the results this way. You can generate the visualization, and systems like Bistrails that were built for data exploration, it actually has lots of features that help people do data exploration. So one of the things that the reviewer can do also is do parameter exploration, and in this case, explore different isosurface values to figure out whether there are some issues in the algorithm. And what is nice is that through the whole review process, Bistrails is actually capturing provenance. So you actually automatically have documentation of the review process, right? And it also serves, this documentation also serves as a way to simplify the communication between the reviewers and authors. So I found a problem. I can actually send the provenance to the author and say, here's what the problem that I found. And the author is going to be able to reproduce and see exactly what the reviewer did. Right? And I'm going to finish in time. So the goal of RepoZip is to actually simplify the creation of these reproducible experiments. It automatically and, you know, transparently captures provenance and will identify all the required components to reproduce a given experiment. We build it for usability, so we actually allow users to do, you know, very flexible customization of the packages. One big advantage that we see with RepoZip is the fact that it's integrated with scientific workflows, right? So I had mentioned that one of the big issues is that people are not going to just wrap their experiments just for publishing, right? So with RepoZip, you actually lower the barrier of adoption because, you know, you already give the author the ability to leverage the workflow system without having to do all the work of doing the wrapping. And again, you know, the ability to explore the results and actually get free provenance of the review process. Of course, this is not, you know, a panacea. All this reproducibility work, you know, each case is a case. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. So this system is actually built to work for command line experiments that are executed through command line on Linux systems, right? Because it relies on systemtap, and systemtap doesn't work on Windows, right? One of the limitations that works on Linux and some other, you know, more specific limitations is the fact that, for example, if you have your executables for Linux, it's not going to run on Windows, right? So if you actually have that situation, you should use a VM. That's the only way around it. And another problem that we actually found, and this is what's very interesting, that we found this with MATLAB. Some executables actually refer to hard-coded paths in your operating system. So these, you know, we have no hope of fixing. But we can actually identify those and tell the software developers you have a bug. This should not be hard-coded, right? There's acknowledgments. This work has been mostly funded by NSF, and we've gotten input from a number of different people. Thank you.